with number 255, Blessed Assurance. For your presence in our lives and for your presence here among us, for your divine guidance to show us yourself and for the leading of the Holy Spirit to draw us closer. Lord, I thank you for the word of God that is preached and that you, Lord, will use that word in a masterful way to change lives and to draw your people to yourself. We pray for your hand to be upon our pastor and to strengthen and heal his body and restore his health. And I pray, O Lord, for your divine presence to guide and to direct all the people of God, that they would walk in your presence and walk in your light, to be ministers of your word and ministers of your peace. We thank you for those who desire to spend their day in the house of the Lord. And we give this time and this day unto you, that your name will be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Does anyone have any songs they would like to sing? Yes, ma'am. 38. Maria. 38. Joyful, joyful. Seven. Even if you don't say it in Spanish, it still counts. 257. Five, six. It is well with my soul.
Thank you.
It Is Well With My Soul. It's the history of that song. Any of you know it? The guy that wrote the song was traveling back across the ocean. He's about the spot where his wife was killed in an attack. The children. His wife is, I think it was on there. Yes, wife and children were killed in an attack on the in a boat, and the boat sunk, and he wrote this. I mean, how many of us, losing all our family, could go to that spot and say, but it is well with my soul? That's knowing who your Savior is. Any other recommendations? Yes, sir, Victor. Oh, good.
I was just reading the word.
3, 2, 4. Okay, nice and loud. I know whom I am believing.
Thank you.
the Lord is coming?
No.
God. On the last day. Who knows that he's coming?
We all do.
Any other recommendations? 18. Abraham prays. Would you like to hear?
Let's take Hear My God today. Let's see what number is that. 357.
357. 357. Put you on the spot there, huh? Try to find out who's not asleep and pick on them. No. Too quick with that one. You thought about it. 206.
Thank you.
been communicating with Pastor this week, and it was, you know, he's planning on being here, he's going to be here, but just in case. So I was decided to work on continuing part of the series that I've been working on, walking through 1 Samuel. So we're in 1 Samuel chapter 28 today, and we're going to look at the bulk of it in verses 3 through 25. So 1 Samuel chapter 28. Starting in verse 3. It says, "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him, not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." Excuse me. "Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath the familiar spirit in Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me, and the Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day, nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul, and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, Behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words, which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused, and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour, and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. So I'm going to look at tonight and what Saul did. He was having difficulties, so he said, I'm going to go find some counsel. I want advice. I want guidance. And on any part of our own life, we're going to have our own little difficulties, our own issues, the problems that we encounter. And sometimes we are completely unsure what to do next. What do I do? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? And so we're going to look at the counsel and the guidance that Saul sought out and look at why he did that and what it means. So we're going to try to understand this passage in light of that. So in verses 4 through 6, it says, the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched at Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. When Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was greatly afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Saul was afraid. Why was he afraid? What do you think? Why was Saul afraid? Victor? Okay, because God didn't answer him, but his fear started before that. Why was Saul afraid? Okay. Well, it says that the Philistines gathered themselves together. So he looked out of his tent and saw the host of the Philistines and said, whoa. Okay? He saw the army against him. I'm not going to go back into it, but it's a reflection, a reminder of 1 Samuel 17. And remember what happened in 1 Samuel 17? A little guy named David came out with a slingshot and knocked down the big guy. Same thing. Okay, only David's not here this time. He's looking out and he's seeing the sea of people. And so he's fearful. He's afraid because the Philistines are ready to attack. Let's go over and take a look at Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 30. What can happen when we're fearful? So verse 28, Matthew 14, 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Saul had a history of this problem, and Peter had a momentary lapse within this problem. He looked at Jesus and said, Lord, if it is you, you can enable me to walk this water, which is impossible for man to do. How many of you have ever walked on water? And walking on the puddles when they're about 1/16 of an inch thick doesn't count? A frozen lake doesn't count? How many of you have walked on water? It's not something anyone can ever say, yeah, I've done that. And so Peter is looking out and saying, if you call me to do it, I can do it. And Jesus says, I call you to do it. Come on. And so Peter gets up and he starts walking. He's going, man, this is cool. Wow, those waves are big. He took his eyes off of Jesus, put them on the troubles, put them on the waves that were beset against him. And he stumbled. And he fell down. But he notice what he did do. Instead of saying, oh no, I'm drowning, he said, Lord, help me. It's one of the things that Saul never did. We're going to look at what Saul did do, though. As we go back to 1 Samuel, in verse 6, it tells us that Saul inquired of the Lord. The Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. So Saul did everything he thought he was supposed to do. He went off and he found the prophets and says, got any word from God for me? Nope. Nothing. Sorry, Saul. Well, how about if I go talk to the priest and, you know, address the Urim and the Thummim and all of the priestly stuff of consulting God? Got any word for me? No. Nothing. Sorry. Dry. So he did everything he could think of that he could possibly do. And yet God never answered him. He was seeking out information from him. God, what's going to happen? And God said, not a word. You ever encounter a time like that? Where you're in a distressed and a difficult situation, and you're crying out to God, and you don't hear a word. We're going to look at why Saul, when he sought God, God wouldn't answer. The legitimate reason for it. Let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel 14, verses 7 and 8. Ezekiel 14, verse 7. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from him, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Well, what happened with Saul? Well, he had set up his own God. I mean, Saul was a great guy. He was the best guy Saul knew. He was the most intelligent guy Saul knew. He was the strongest guy Saul knew. And so he had constructed this idol of his heart. He has constructed this thing that was important to him, and it wasn't God. And God says, fine, you're going to inquire of me, and I'll answer you by taking you out, by removing you from my presence, by letting you know in no uncertain terms, you don't serve other gods. Saul had his God, but it wasn't the God that put him in power. Saul had his God, but it wasn't the God. He had an alternative God. And Saul had actually sacrificed to his God, but we're not going to go there. And Saul was not a priest. So in order for Saul to hear from God, because God wasn't answering him, what was necessary? What did Saul need in order to hear? Let's go over to James chapter 4. To understand what Saul needed. James chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Scripture tells us in verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Saul needed to humble himself to realize that he wasn't the greatest thing on the face of the earth. Saul needed to repent, recognize his sins. Look at what James says here. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. You know, Pastor was talking about this morning about someone and dealing with, you know, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And those last two words are the most difficult to say. Because, you know, you encounter a lot of people that are willing to say, God be merciful to me, for I deserve it. I'm a good person. And that's what Saul was looking at. He was looking at, when things are tough, you go find God. When you're down in the pits and everything's going against you, you go talk to God. But when you're on cloud nine and everything's going your way, God, you just sit off on the side. When I need you, I'll call you. And James says, wait a second here. You need God regardless of whether things are going your way or against your way. I had encountered a woman at a bus stop a couple weeks ago. I think I've told some of you about her. And so, I won't use her language, but I was telling her about, because I had missed the bus, and she had missed the bus. She was a little upset. I said, hey, God had a purpose for it. Ooh, that made her mad. God doesn't do that stuff. God doesn't make you miss a bus. Really? How do you know? You know? But she was insistent. God would not make you miss a bus. I'm sorry. But as the way I look at scriptures, would, according to her view, would God have someone become enslaved in Egypt? Be tied up and bound? And mistreated, thrown in the prison of prisons, the lowest part? Joseph said, yep, God sent me. You didn't send me, God did. And all sometimes difficult things happen in our lives. Why? Because God wants you to learn something, to trust him, to turn towards him in the good times and the bad. It's easy to turn to him where things are going bad, but you got to turn to him when things are going good. Okay, so Saul was fearful. He sought God. Nothing happened. So what did he do? Well, let's look at verses 7 to 10. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. That's someone who consults the dead. That I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare to my for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. And I was looking at this, I'm thinking, what great irony. Here is Saul seeking a witch, seeking someone who can conjure up the dead. Why is that ironic? Well, let's look at verse 3, 23. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. You conjure up the dead, you're out. Saul had signed a decree that what he was looking for is now illegal. So he's violating his own law. How many of us sort of violate, you know, before we came to Christ, violate our own laws? This is what I got to do to be good. Well, if I step across the line every now and then, that'll be okay. You know, we can't even keep our own laws, our own rules. And so here, Saul sets up and says, no one, no witch, no, nothing that'll spiritist or anything like that. Nothing spiritual but God himself. Everything else out of the land. And then he says, I got to find a spiritist. Find that ironic. Not only that, but let's go over to Leviticus chapter 20 in verse 6. Leviticus 20, verse 6. And Moses wrote, and the Saul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, what's Saul doing? And after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. All right, I guess Saul could say, you know what? God's already cut me off. What more harm can I do? But, I mean, guy said, I'm searching for the Lord, searching for wisdom from God. And so I'm going to go turn to something that God says in another passage, that is an abomination to me. An abomination is not, well, I just sort of kind of dislike it. It is absolutely crud. It's the lowest of the low. So it was against the law, it was against Saul's law, it was against the Lord's law. And Saul was previously warned about this. Let's go over to 1 Samuel 15. So this is all tying in with this issue of the Amalekites. We'll come back to this passage again. But 1 Samuel 15, 22 to 24. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion, disobeying God, is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So Saul was already told, look, rebellion itself is about as bad as it gets. It's witchcraft. It's idolatry. So Saul had been warned. He had seen all this. He outlawed it himself. God had outlawed it. And then the greatest irony of all, let's go over to Judges 17. Judges 17, verses 1 to 3. I always have to sort of laugh when I read this passage. There was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver was with me. In other words, I stole them from you. Well, you weren't looking. I got into your purse and stole your money. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. Praise God. Okay, let's keep going. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. Wait a second. Your son steals money from your purse. You curse whoever took it. You return it. He returns it back to you. He says, Mom, I stole it. He says, oh, what a blessed child you are. And I'm going to dedicate this money to God by making a graven image for you. How many commandments were violated in that one short group, right? Yet, that's what was going on with Saul. He had set up an idol. He had dedicated, and look at, if we go back and look at verse 10, 28:10, and Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for the same. Hey, trust me. As God is God, as he exists, nothing will ever happen to you of this. Is that what God says? You search for a witch. You search for something that says God says you don't go there, and God's going to bless you for this. I find Saul humorous. I find Judges humorous. And yet that's what was going on. What was Saul's greatest need? Why would he do this? What would he really need to do? You're going to find a theme here. Psalm 51, verses 1 to 4. This is David after he was caught and having been presented with the reality of his adultery to Bathsheba. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. See, David, when he was confronted with his sin, David saw his sin as it was sin. And what was the proper violation or the proper, I guess, reward or the punishment for having committed adultery? Anyone know? Death. Yeah, stoning. You take him out, and he's in the city. So both of them, according to the law, are to be stoned because they're in the city. Now, what does he say? Have mercy upon me. Wash me. Make me clean because I can't do it. I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin. That's tough. To stand up and say, I am a sinner. That's the beginning of humility. And then verse 4, which is a fascinating verse, it says, against thee only have I sinned. He's saying, what I did to Bathsheba, I was wrong, But that's not the worst part. What I did to Uriah in having him killed, it was wrong. But that's not the worst part. The worst part was I sinned against God. I violated the nature and character of God. That's what he's saying. Saul's got a few things to learn. I'm going to go long, sorry. Verses 15 to 19. So what happened then? So he brings up, they go to this woman, and she says, no damage. Verse 11 through 14. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And the woman saw Samuel. She cried with a loud voice. The woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. She recognized him. Not because he took off his garb, his disguise, but because Samuel actually came. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. He stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. As we look at this, it's like, you're reading this passage, and in verse 12 it says, the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. She's never seen anything like this before. She's been conjuring up spirits for years, possibly decades, who knows how long. This is the first time she's seen anything like this. Look at her description of it. It says, I saw God's Elohim ascending out of the earth. She saw something divine. She saw something just absolutely blew her mind away. She had no concept of what the reality of the situation was. I mean, she's, like I said, she's brought him up before. This is different. This one was real. This one was brought up of God. I also found it interesting that Saul was afraid of the army, the whole massive army. Here, this woman was trying to dive into the realm of God, contrary to God. And Saul says, hey, don't be afraid. God's representing himself to you in a way, but don't be afraid, unlike Saul was afraid. A couple things I want to point out. Let's go over to Matthew 10, 28. When we talk about fear, there's something that we need to know and understand about fear. Matthew 10, 28. Fear not them which kill the body. Because if they kill the body, what have they accomplished? Well, they put you in the grave. But are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. See, Saul was afraid of an army. And he was the king of the country of the living God. And he's afraid of an army. And this woman was afraid of a spirit. Yeah, she should have been. There was no fear of God there. I also want to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 9 to 12. Okay. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So what we have here is this woman, when she would bring conjure up the spirit, she believed her lie. She believed the lie that was there. But when she saw the truth, it scared her to death. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know how to handle it because she insisted upon believing a lie. And God says, fine, you want to believe a lie? I'll help you believe the lie. But it wasn't God that caused her to do that. She wanted to do that. And Saul wanted to believe that someone else could somehow communicate what only God can communicate. the reality of the future, the reality of his presence. So in verses 15 to 19. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Then said Samuel, "Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." So he's saying, you're going to be dead tomorrow. Let's jump back into 1 Samuel 15, looking at a couple of passages, and then I'll just sort of have to wrap it up. 1 Samuel 15, verses 1 through 3, sort of the background of what is Samuel talking about. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." In other words, everything goes. Nothing's to be preserved. Jump down to verse 8. So Saul went out to the battle, to the Amalekites. Verse 8, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and of the fatlings and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. I have completely obeyed perfectly. Man, I'm good. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. We took the best of the stuff we're supposed to destroy, and we're going to give it to God. Sort of reminds me of the story I used a couple weeks ago about a guy running a movie house, and you know, he's making the movies from the sale, the rentals of the pornography movies in the back, and he said, yeah, but I give it to God. And so, and Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. Verse 17, Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, they took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And then he goes on to say, does God want your sacrifices? Does he want you to give of your time, your talents, your energy, or does he want you to obey his voice? So this is the background, and this is what God really wants, how I laid it here as well. He wants obedience. He wanted Saul to recognize his sin, recognize that he had transgressed the desire and the call of God, but instead has turned from him. So sort of wrap this whole passage up, and 1 Samuel 15:22 is the best picture. It says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. That's what Saul forgot. And that's why God wouldn't listen to him. And Peter says a similar thing. He says, you know, if your prayers aren't being answered, it may not be because of sin in your own life, but you better check it out. Make sure you're right with God. And then go forth and learn from what God has for you to learn through this issue. Any questions? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for your word, which endures forever. May you bless us and strengthen us and help us, O Lord, to see our errors, but to see your glory and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.